First of all, when we talk about the circular economy, and this, I mean, a wonderful concept, was actually an excellent goal to strive towards, we must actually realize that, I mean, at the moment we do have over 120 different definitions. And this is actually what we try to do also with the United Nations and the UNEC agency, to provide provide some clear guidance and the limits of these specific concepts. And we focused on different technologies, and we made actually a comprehensive assessment on this so-called waste-to-energy part, which is actually highly debatable in some several cases. So we concluded that the waste-to-energy, in the guidelines, discuss and propose three critical conditions. First of all, waste-to-energy facilities should only process the post-recyclable materials, which means the materials that do not have actually value in the market, and because of the technological limitations, we cannot actually recover any value out of these materials. Second, we talk about state-of-the-art technologies that must be embedded in these waste-to-energy plants to ensure compliance with stringent pollution standards as well as environmental standards. For example, we highlight in this specific document the use of the European Union Industrial Emissions Directive for the air pollution, as well as the use of the leaching assessment framework for the beneficial utilization of the residues, namely bottom and fly ash. The third and very super critical condition is to adopting the five desirable outcomes of public and private partnerships for the SDGs could help governments and the industry adopt better legal and policy frameworks to ensure best governance practices in waste-to-energy projects. So the design, financing, construction, operation, and maintenance of waste-to-energy plants must ensure that laws and regulations concerning emissions are diligently followed. Stakeholders must be duly informed of waste-to-energy projects, and stakeholder engagement made the priority, in particular as cultural factors can play a significant role in local communities' approval of these waste-to-energy facilities. We must realize also that we talk about different pace of industrialization worldwide. First of all, the developing and emerging nations should first work towards an integrated waste management system prior to the development and the implementation of these sophisticated waste-to-energy plants. And the developed economies should emphasize on efficient collection and sorting of materials so that as little recyclable waste as possible goes to waste-to-energy plants. In regard to the other documents, specifically on this circular economy, the connection between the public and private partnerships and the SDGs, the five PPPs for the SDGs outcomes, namely access and equity, economic effectiveness and fiscal sustainability, environmental sustainability and resilience, replicability and stakeholder engagement, are their core, already embed circular economy principles. Most notably, through its outcome on environmental sustainability and resilience, but also across all the five specific outcomes. So the idea is that adopting a PPPs for the SDGs compliant approach in all the projects would ensure that circular economy principles are respected. So in addition, it would also ensure that the projects not only provide value for the planet, but also value for our people, and mainly with a main emphasis on the low-income communities and the vulnerable also groups. In sum, the PPPs for the SDGs have the potential to overcome key problems and barriers to the circular economy. The guidelines provided seven policy options for governments that act as recommendations to ensure that the policy and regulatory frameworks are in place to ensure that the circular economy agenda embedded in the PPPs for the SDGs approach can flourish. These policy options address the vision, scope, technology and capacity building, fiscal incentives, partnering and partnerships, public procurements and good governance, as well as stakeholder engagement, which from our view also is the backbone of all these developments. So in summary, the key elements of effective governance to adopt and advocate sustainable infrastructure, transparency of processes and stakeholder engagement are first of all stronger regulations, including fiscal incentives, regular inspections, and zero tolerance on corruption. Conduct surveys and clearly map the specific needs of all the different stakeholders engaged in these processes. Education and public outreach programs, no discrimination and women empowerment, fiscal sustainability of projects, replicability and scalability of projects in other regions and countries, capacity building and knowledge transfer from the private sector to the public sector so that governments will build their capacity to develop better projects. And a very important also tool, which also highly recommended by the World Bank, is the use of the result-based blended financing in order to make sure that all the risks are minimized during the construction as well as the implementation of all these developments. So thank you very much for the opportunity.